Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back. My name is Jean Super Reef, and this is Real Talk for Real People on Blog Talk Radio Station. Unfortunately, Cottrell, my brother and friend, won't be here because of a passing recently in his family. And so we're looking out for him. And he's doing some things with his family. What he's doing is not your business. Only thing you need to be concerned, he's doing some things with his family. He can take as much time as he feels that he needs because he does a fabulous job on the show, on the study show, putting Yah's word out to the people, praising Yah, which we all should be doing. It's not Cottrell's job. It's not Yom Super Reef's job. We try to, on the show, get your mind stoked in that direction. We try to make things simplified for you so you can get a much better understanding. And so you can take these study habits right off this show. And if it wasn't a Real Talk for Real People study show, you would have excellent study habits. And you could have a greater comprehension of the Most Highest One. Because the most important relationship that you will ever have in your life, or should have in your life, is the relationship between the Most High, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. You see why? Every other relationship is predicated on that relationship. See, if you don't have a constructive relationship with Yah, most often, all your other relationship is going to be tacky, trashy, and materialistic, so to speak. Neil Fuller Jr. said, then I took it and I applied it to this. Because you wouldn't know how to have a constructive relationship. You see, we're going to get into that today. About non-constructive relationship among one another. And they have a negative effect upon the people. And our brothers and sisters in the ancient time, they dealt with that situation. They didn't walk away from it. They dealt with it. They solved the problem, unlike we are today. But before we get started on our studies, I simply want to thank you for coming to this study session today. And you know I talk about contemporary subject matters, if you're familiar with this show. Two things. Facebook is being faced with outrage because a whistleblower has brought attention to Congress and us that Facebook is stoking division, is not good for children, is not good for anybody for that matter. And that's why I call it, I don't call it Facebook, I call it Foolsbook. Because it'll make a complete fool out of you. And certainly in some of our cases, we don't need any additional help. It's true. So, I mean, it's nothing new to me. But I'm not on Facebook to that degree. I just get on, say what I have to say, and get out of the way. I'm not reading all them posts because it's like fool's paradise. You don't need to read all those posts. You listen to a whole lot of crazy people. And they're saying things that's not verified. And they're just making up stuff as they go. So be very careful what you read on Fool's Book, okay? It's true. Even my stuff. Make sure things that I said is verifiable. Even on Fool's Book. And last but not least, 126,000 gallons of oil has spilled on the West Coast in California, which is affecting the ecosystem for the sea animals and the birds and the beaches and whatnot. And the company owner of the company itself saying, I don't know where to get this information from, that a ship's anchor may have been the cause, may have been. You don't know, but you talk about a ship, but you don't know what a ship is. You just said a ship hit it. It's just like when we used to do bad stuff when we were little kids, little children. And we go to school, we supposed to have the homework. And the teacher asked, well, what's your homework, Yom Suf? The dog ate it. Everybody looking for an excuse to blame it on. They can't even prove that a ship hit. The pipeline probably, that's why I don't like pipelines. And the pipeline is just old. But they try to blame it on an unknown ship. unknown ship. It's always blaming on somebody. And you know, I heard something before we get started in our studies. I heard something about a Pandora thing. It tells about the wealth of some of these people, like the king of Jordan and the Russian guy, president. And they got a lot of money stashed away and whatnot. And one of the guys that the woman was trying to interview, and he said, I ain't never did nothing bad or did nothing wrong. When anybody tell you something like that, you know they're lying. Yom Sukta did something bad. Yom Sukta did something wrong. The Most High said, ain't nobody right. Everybody got dirt on them. So for an individual to tell you, I ain't never did nothing bad in my life. I ain't never did nothing wrong. They lying. And you can't trust a man or woman that says that. Because the Most High said, we all dirty. And I trust the Most High over anybody. And that's the truth. So that being said, let's get started into our study, shall we? Go to Nehemiah chapter 5, rather short chapter. And remember I told you about the dynamics of relationships? And if you're not right with Yah, or you're not following the mandates, codification to solve problems, you're going to have problems. Let's look at it. Chapter 5. There was a great outcry by the common folks. The Hebrew Israelites didn't have it going on like that. And their wives against their brother, the Yehudites, the one that had it like that. Some said, our sons and daughters are numerous. We must get grain to eat in order that we may live. I mean, we're having hard times. Others said, we must pawn our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get grain to save our hunger. Yet others said, we have borrowed money against our fields and vineyards to pay the king's taxes. Are we as good as our brothers, the one that got it going on, and our children as good as theirs, the one that got it like that? Yet here we are subjecting our sons and daughters into slavery. Some of our daughters are already subjected. We are powerless. We ain't got none. We're having hard times. While our fields and vineyards belong to others, we're working for others. It angered me, Nehemiah said. Nehemiah said, it angered me to hear this outcry and these complaints. After pondering the matter carefully, I sensed the nobles and the governor saying, are you pressing claims on loans made to your brothers? I mean, you putting them in dire straits? Then I raised a large crowd against them. I ratted people against them. And I said to them, we have done our best to buy back our Yehudite brothers who were sold to the nations. We did our best to buy them back. Now, here you have subjected them to other nations. And here you, their brothers, and you're subjecting them to the same type treatment because you ain't got your mind right. Because if you had your mind right with Yah, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. You wouldn't be subjecting your brothers and sisters to slavery because we're commanded not to do that. Now, if you knew that, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. What I said about relationships. Will you now sell your brothers so that they must be sold back to us? They kept silent. They found nothing to answer. They couldn't even answer me. So I continued. What you're doing is not right, point blank. You ought to act in a Yah-fearing way, like you fear Yah, and you fear what you're doing to your brothers and sisters. So as to not give our enemies, the nation, room to reproach us. Don't give them reason to talk about us. What you're doing is giving other nations reason to talk about us, to denigrate us. I, my brothers, and my servants also have a claim of money and grain against them. Now, I gave them stuff too. I got a claim against him, but I ain't doing him like that. He said, let us now, let all of us now abandon these claims that these folks that came and asked for stuff and we got claims against their land. Give back at once their fields and their vineyards, their olive trees, and their homes, and abandon the claims for the 100 pieces of silver, the grain, the wine, the oil that you have been pressing against them. They replied, we should give that you have been pressing against. Okay, we should give them back and not demand anything of them. We shall do just as you, summoning the priests. They said, we're going to do just like you're going to do. So they summoned the priests. And he put them on the oath to keep the promise. I also shook out the bosom of my garment and said, so may Yah shake free of his household and property of any man who fails to keep this promise. Let karma come against you through the Elohim. May he be thus shaken out and stripped. All the assembled answer, amen, and praise the Elohim. The people kept this promise. Furthermore, from the day I was commissioned, he went on to add, making a point to them about the importance of relationships with one another. And if you ain't got the right relationship with Yah, you can't, virtually impossible to have a constructive relationship with one another. And that's what he's trying to point. And he emphasizes that with this. Furthermore, from the day I was commissioned to be governor in the land of Yehuda, from the 20th year of King Ataxerxes until his 32nd year, 12 years in all, neither I nor my brother ate of the governor's food. I didn't take a bit of food from my brothers and sisters who were supposed to give it to me as governor, as an allowance. I didn't take none of that food. The former governors who preceded me laid heavy burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine more than 40 shekels of silver. That service also their service of the other governor terrorized the people too. They were tyrants over the people, even in the service of the governors. But he said, I had a fear of the Elohim, and that's how you shall hold me. You not should be worried about what people think, but you should have the fear of Yah did not do so. And you should do or shouldn't do things based on your fear of Yah. And he said, that's why I didn't do it. I also supported the work on this wall. We did not buy any land. And all my servants were gathered there at the work. They put in work too. Wasn't nobody laying over there behind. Although there were at my tables. And a lot of folks say they're at my table. And I didn't ask nobody for nothing. I fed them out of my own pocket. Between Yehudites and perfects, governors, 150 men in all who ate at my table, besides those who came to us from surrounding nations. And although what was prepared for each day came, let me tell you what I provided for these men every day, out of my own pocket. Now, I didn't try to put the burden on the people. I'm concerned about my brothers and sisters. I don't try to put a burden on them. That's what he's trying to get in order to have a constructive relationship. Don't take advantage of your brothers and sisters. And he points out the monetary value of him providing for himself and the people that ate at his table daily. He says, came to one ox. I had one ox was killed, six select sheep, and five, all prepared for me. And every 10 days, all sort of wines in abundance. Yet I did not resort to the governors. I didn't take no allowance from the people. I didn't put this burden on the people. For the king's service lay heavily on the people. Because it would have been a burden to my brothers and sisters. I was looking out for their best interests. And that's how you have to feel about your brothers and sisters. I don't care what nobody else feeling about them. And any kind of way they're feeling about it. Even brothers and sisters that are not conscious. You shouldn't be feeling something. So you should, just because everybody else taking advantage of them, which would be, if you did, it would be a approach to y'all. So you don't mistreat your brothers and sisters just because everybody else doing it. Okay? He said, "Oh my Elohim, remember to my credit all that I have done for this people." And he said, "Y'all don't forget the good I've done." And see, it applies to you too. If you're doing good, but if you aren't doing good, you know, like that curse here, put those well-to-do brothers under karma. So that's why I said about relationships. If you maintain the correct relationship in this order, everything is predicated upon a domino effect. If your relationship with Yah is up on point, every other relationship is predicated upon that, okay? But make sure that you get the first one correct, because the first one has a domino effect on the others. Because if you don't do the first one right, it's virtually impossible for us, the relationships are concerned, or for any relationship that is concerned, to be constructive and a positive in the fashion that it should be in. Okay? As I said, it was a rather short study session, but praise Yah and pray for Cartrell. And I want to just say this in closing. Young Suf Ari, don't know where you're going, but you're certainly getting ready to get out of here. You've been studying with us on the Real Talk for Real People show, not only nationally, but internationally. I want to thank our international students. And keep coming back. We got more for you. We got more study sessions that will help embellish your life and improve your life. The most important one with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, and any other relationships. Okay? But get that one right, okay? All right. Well, may the Most High direct and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Why? Because your thinkers are broken. Your hearts are broken. So we recommend that you get a new heart, a new spirit, a spirit that is contrite and humble, a spirit that submits to Yah, not to Yom Suf Arif, not to Katrio, not to anyone, but a spirit that submits to Yah, so you would know how to treat folk. Otherwise, you won't know how to treat folk, okay? And then that heart would look like something like King Dawid had. Some of you call him David. That is the English interpretation. But the Hebrew interpretation is Dawid. And so what kind of man or heart did the King Dawid have? Well, the Most High spoke of it. He said the King Dawid was a man after his own heart. And so that is a compliment. Although King Dawid made some mistakes, but he wasn't perfect. We all dirty. But get you a new heart that's going to work for you. Otherwise, the other one going to work on you. And get a heart that loves the Most High. What I said, that first relationship, everything is predicated upon that. Loves the Most High with all that heart, mind, soul, and strength, that you would know how to treat your brothers and sisters, anyone else for that matter. And if you don't know, you'll try to find out. And that love your neighbors, which are your brothers and sisters, as yourself, meaning that you have to love yourself in order to love your brothers and sisters. And if you hate what remotely looks like you, and you hate you, it's virtually impossible to love your brothers and sisters. Look around us. Yom Suf Arif ain't lying. Oh, it's true. May the Most High bless you. We love you. Shalom and good night.
where